Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burton. Thank you so much for tuning into our Every Nation channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so, hey, let me begin our time this way. And so there is an unnamed Philadelphia financial planner. He was just a fan of going flea marketing, right? And so he went, it was in Adamstown, Pennsylvania, and he was just jumping from booth to booth at these little flea markets until his eye was drawn to kind of a beat up old painting. And so he didn't care much for the painting. It was a little bit torn and tattered, but he really liked the frame. And get this, it was only $4. So he put down his $4, man, and he purchased the painting. And then when he took it home and he was trying to remove the painting from the frame so he could put another picture in there, he realized that there was another sheet of paper, that there was another document folded up and placed behind the picture that was in front of it. Come to find out, as he opened it up and he started to examine it, it looked like something. Hey, this could be something because it's extremely old. He took it to a couple friends that are experts in antiques and things of antiquity. Come to find out, this document that he found was a Dunlop broadside copy of the Declaration of Independence. There was only two dozen in print. And so this thing was wildly valuable. In fact, he took it to Sotheby's. They estimated it would probably bring in about $800,000. They were wrong because it brought in $2.42 million. And so I don't know if you're doing the math on that. That's a pretty good exchange. Like, that's a pretty good investment, $4 to get you $2.42 million, you know? So I was thinking about it. Actually, I wasn't thinking about it. Okay, I put it into the chat GPT. So I was trying to, like what can you get for $4 nowadays? And ChatGPT spit out a medium coffee. Apparently, ChatGPT has never been to Starbucks because you're not getting it for under $4, man. You can get a large fries at McDonald's, okay? You can get a Big Gulp and a Kit Kat at 7-Eleven, all right? So you can get that for $4. But $2.42 million? That's going to get you 20 Corvettes if you would like. Not into the Corvette thing, maybe a Porsche 911, because you can get about 24 of those. You can get, maybe you're into watches, 240 Rolex watches. Or maybe you're not into all the fancy stuff, you could go to the dollar store and get 2.42 million things from the dollar store, okay? And so here's what's kind of funny. That the document, it sold for $2.42 million. The gentleman that bought it was Donald Scheer. And upon purchasing it, he says, "I think I got a great bargain." And you know what? He did. Because 9 years after that purchase, he would resell it, forget this, $8 million. $8 million. Man, a $4 investment would one day yield $8 million. You know what? That's going to be kind of the big idea for our time today is that, man, I see so many people settling for $4 things when the promise of God, man, is an $8 million relationship with the Lord. So C.S. Lewis, he's going to say it this way. He says, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." And so, listen, C.S. Lewis, he's a scholar and a professor, and I'm a retired hockey player. And so what C.S. Lewis just said, I'm going to say it a little bit differently. Hey, man, don't give your life over to $4 sins when God offers, man, $8 million, the abundant life in Jesus Christ. It's just a bad trade, man. So in our text today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Before we do, I got to kind of set it up for us. You know, the entire chapter of Matthew is nothing but Jesus telling stories. They're parables. It's the word parabole. Para means alongside and bole means to throw. And so what it is Jesus will tell a story that's going to illustrate a spiritual truth. And he's just bam, 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 one after the other. And we're going to get to almost the end of the chapter, man, and Jesus is going to talk about, man, all we have in relationship with Almighty God. And so I'll start in verse 44, and I'll read right through to 46. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." And so if we can just piece down these two stories that Jesus tells, is it's so in Matthew 13, verse 44, he talks about, man that there's a man who just, he just stumbles into, get this, buried treasure. And so, you know, back in the first century, this was a common practice that with all the thievery and, man, the lawlessness and whatnot, they didn't have these big banking institutions, man, that they would bury their riches, just, you know, remember where it was at. And then occasionally you would stumble into someone else's treasure. And that's what we're reading about here. And here's what's crazy. This guy wasn't looking for treasure. He just stumbled into it and he found it. And so I've seen like a couple modern day instances of this. I'll give you a few just to upset you. So it was in Toulouse, France. There was a young couple. They noticed that in their home, there was a leak up in the ceiling. And so they had never actually been up into their attic before. And so they were trying to figure out how to get there and then take inventory of what the problem was. They got into their attic only to find that there were a number of old artifacts, and in particular, a painting. The painting didn't look like much to them, but in fact, it was a priceless work of art. It was by the Italian master painter Caravaggio. Get this. It was valued at $137 million. And so, listen, I don't know about you. Like, I remember one time I was going through the pillows in our couch. I found $1.37 and a piece of sugar-free extra gum. Okay, and so that's what I found. They found a priceless painting worth $137 million. Do you want me to make you even more upset? Come on, we got all afternoon here. So there's also an elderly French woman. She was in her 90s. She was selling her home, so she wanted to get rid of all the stuff she kind of amassed throughout the years. And there was this one painting that sat above her stove. It was full of grease and whatnot. You could barely make it out. She was going to throw it in the garbage. For some reason, she didn't. She had an auctioneer come in and just kind of price out all of her goods, and his eye fixed on the painting that was over the stove. He looked at it, brought it down. He started to clean it off a little bit, and come to find out, it was a priceless painting dated all the way back to 1280. And get this, it would later sell, ready? $27 million. Like, I don't know about you, but like, is everyone's garbage in France worth millions of dollars or what, right? And I don't know, like, when I hear these stories, I'm like, why can't I stumble into riches like this? And hey, dum-dum, if you know Jesus Christ, you did. You and I, man, there's some of you, you weren't looking for God. God was looking for you. You stumbled into it and you found the greatest treasure there is in the world. And his name is Jesus Christ. Do you know, in our text, the word treasure in the Greek, it's the word thesaurus, where we actually get like the thesaurus of words, okay? And so a thesaurus is where you can find several words that kind of mean the one word that you're looking for. And so it's a treasure trove of vocabulary. And in the same way, man, that's the big idea. When you find relationship with God, it's not just one thing. It's a treasure. Hidden in a field. There's all these little treasures and trinkets. It's a treasure trove, man, of gifting from Almighty God. And so, listen, we all know the big ticket items, if you will, that when you come into saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Get this, man, you get the forgiveness of your sins. That's pretty darn good. You get salvation. You get eternal life. And if it was just those things, it would be amazing. But do you know what? It's a treasure chest. There's just so much more than just that. So I don't know why I feel like I keep referencing this movie, but anyways, you're getting another Good Will Hunting illustration. And so Good Will Hunting, if you're not familiar with the film, it's Matt Damon plays this brilliant kind of savant, but he's kind of a broken, wounded little boy in his soul and in his emotions. And Robin Williams, who, by the way, is finally going to get the Academy Award as Best Supporting Actor in this film. Robin Williams, he plays a therapist trying to break through, man, the stone wall of Matt Damon's character. And so he's sitting in a therapy session. And get this, the directors, they had the presence of mind to know, man, Robin Williams is a genius comedian, actor. And so they gave him all this leeway to just kind of ad-lib throughout the film. And so they just knew, just keep the cameras rolling, just keep the cameras rolling. And so sure enough, there's an iconic scene where Matt Damon's sitting across from Robin Williams, and Robin Williams is trying to get in and break down through the wall. And get this, Robin Williams, he just suddenly changes the subject with Matt Damon. He goes, you know what? My wife, she used to fart whenever she got nervous. And right at that moment, suddenly you see Matt Damon, what? Burst out laughing. That was not scripted. He just started cracking up because he didn't see it coming. And Robin Williams just kept rolling with it. He goes, yeah. He says, one night it was so bad she woke up the dog. And they're cracking up laughing. You can see the camera shaking because the cameraman is literally cracking up as this is going on. And as they're authentically cracking up laughing during the scene, just so strategically that Robin Williams, he downloads and he says, yeah. He says, you know, she's been dead for 2 years now. And he says, man, those are the crazy things that I remember. Man, the little things about her that I and only I knew. These idiosyncrasies, the things that I knew about her, he says, it's what made her my wife. He said, God, I miss her. And then amidst that silence, do you know that the big idea for us today is this, man, the big ticket items, man, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, it's amazing. But do you know what the good stuff is? Man, the idiosyncrasies of relationship with God. Do you know that, that the Bible, God offers friendship, relationship with Him, that all the weird stuff you think, all the stuff that inside you're quietly afraid of and insecure about, how you can be just totally transparent before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and let Him in, that you can let Him see the ugly parts of you and know you're still going to be unconditionally loved. There's something about that. And so there's something about walking with God, talking with God, laughing with Him and crying. That's the good stuff. That's the good stuff that we get with God. In fact, you know that at the end of time, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, it talks about this intimate moment that God is going to have with you and with me. It says in verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, here it is, with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Isn't that crazy? It's like at the end of time, the Lord wants to know, hey man, you did it. You were faithful to the end. I have this white stone with a special name, a nickname for you that only you and I know. Man, it's intimacy with God, and it's the good stuff. You know, C.S. Lewis, consider this, man, your weekly C.S. Lewis quote, but he wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. It's funny, he was married to Joy Davidson. Some people think, oh, that's what the book was about. It's not. It's actually about, it chronicles his life of in conversion to Christ. And so as a young atheist agnostic, it was funny, he couldn't get around the fact that every now and then, he would experience, he just called them stabs of joy. That there would be these moments where he would feel something deep in his soul, this longing for something larger and bigger than just planet Earth, a longing for heaven. He gave it the German word Sehnsucht. Sehnsucht. It means the soul's ache. For the record, I'm going to give you another German word today. The German word is this, backpfeifen gesiegt. It's even fun to say, backpfeifen gesiegt. It means a face that badly needs to be punched, okay? You're welcome. Don't say think that I didn't give you anything today, all right? But this idea of sin sucked, that Lewis said he was chasing sin sucked for the entirety of his life. He was chasing that stab of joy, the feeling. And here's what he didn't realize. The feeling was designed to take him on a path to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. If I could say it this way, man, joy is the sign, but Jesus is the destination the sign is pointing to, man. And so here's what we see. That back to our parable, that guy who stumbles into this treasure, it says, for joy, he gladly sells everything he has to purchase that field. And so here's what you need to know is that joy, it changes the math to life. It just does, man. And so I might get in trouble with this. I don't care, okay? I'm a daddy of daughters. I have a wife. So that's a lot of estrogen in my home. I had to get two male golden retrievers just to kind of balance the thing out a little bit, if you know what I'm saying. Have you ever heard of girl math? Yeah, it's a thing, okay? So let me let you in if you're not familiar with girl math. And so an outfit for a girl can cost $300, but if she gets it on sale for $180, she just made $120 on the deal, okay? That's girl math. Another one is the store will be like, hey, if you just spend $18 more, you get the $8 shipping for free. And so in their mind, you didn't just spend 10 extra dollars, you actually made $8. Okay, and so it's girl math, okay? And so, but here's what you need to know, man, is joy absolutely changes the math to life. I don't know about you, but maybe if we were to be honest, you know, the Bible talks about, man, sin, it's enticing, it's tempting. That, man, the scriptures talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, and it could be so alluring to the human soul until you experience sin sucked. You experience that joy in God, relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Those other things, man, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are $4 things, man. And God's offering you an $8 million relationship with Him. Let me go on. And the second parable is in Matthew 13, 45 to 46. It says this. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. And so different than the previous one, the first guy, he wasn't searching. Man, he just stumbled into buried treasure. Not this guy. This guy is seeking and searching for a pearl of enormous value. And so if you want to know the truth, that's the human condition. Do you know that scientists are in search of the God gene? In other words, they think hardwired into humanity's DNA is this search for a deity, for a savior. That no matter where they go around planet Earth, humanity is in search of God. And so, Ecclesiastes will address this. Ecclesiastes, it means the teacher. It's written by Solomon, man, the wisest man who ever lived. And he just points out this thing that he sees in all of humanity, that God has created, he's put eternity in our heart. In other words, we all are born with this God-sized hole that nothing temporary or temporal can fill, but only the eternal one, God Almighty, can fill it. I've heard it said this way, that we're all looking for somebody who's actually looking for us, you know? And so, do you know that the world's largest pearl was actually found by a Filipino fisherman? Come on, viva Philippines, right? Man, this Filipino fisherman, he dove down in his boat and he saw this massive clam and he somehow brought it back up. And in it, he found a pearl. Get this, it's about 2 feet long and it weighs approximately 75 pounds. I think we have an image of it, okay? And so, but here's the insanity. This fisherman, just kind of being unaware of its value, he put it, tucked it underneath his bed, And then before he went out fishing every day, he would touch it for good luck for fishing, right? And would go away. And listen, he's got this priceless pearl, man. You never have to fish a day in your life. And what's he doing? Maybe it'll bring me good luck and I'll catch some fish. And you know what I just did? I just described many of your walk with Jesus Christ. You know, you have this priceless offer of a relationship with God. And what are you looking for instead? Man, just a little good luck on my life. Man, maybe my Jesus thing is just a keep me out of hell card. Or some of you, Jesus is just kind of a spare tire. You don't pay attention to it until you get a blowout in your life. And you're like, man, I hope that spare tire is still in there, right? And so, man, you're just blind to the priceless value of relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the pearl of great value. And so, do you know what happened? Man, this fisherman, finally, his aunt, Aunt Eileen, thank God for Aunt Eileen's. She says, hey, this thing is of great value. And she took it, and it turns out that thing was valuable, estimated at over $100 million worth. And in the same way, in the parable we read, man, this merchant, his eye is trained, and he sees that pearl. He knows all the other pearls combined don't add up to the value of that one. And it says this, he sells everything to get the one thing. And that's what you and I are called to do. Do you know what? It didn't say that he added on that pearl to the rest of his collection. Nope. It says he gladly did away with his entire collection of pearls for the one pearl of great price. And in the same way, man, that relationship with God, Jesus isn't just an add-on to the rest of our life. He is life, okay? And so here's what, like your career, your finances, your health, all of these things are unbelievably important. They're just not ultimate, man. Jesus, man, is the ultimate thing. Jesus is the pearl of great value that everything needs to come in a distant second compared to relationship with God. I'll close our time out with this one. And so my daughter and I, like kind of, we'll be watching TV, and then maybe it's just us, I don't know, but there's some ridiculous commercials on. Like there's some of them are so ridiculous and moronic. I'm like, some agency actually pitched that to somebody and they said yes. Like, what in the world? But then there's some good ones, right? Listen, they're good when they have staying power. So I know most, if not all of you, remember the Nike commercial, the ads, Just Do It. Do you know the backstory to that? Do you know where the advertisers got the idea for that? Was actually, there's a convicted murderer, Gary Gilmore. He was sentenced to death and by firing squad. And as he was tied to a chair and the firing squad was ready, and they said, any last words? And he just says these words, let's do it. Kind of eerie, right? They shifted it to Just Do It, but it's kind of creepy. Another one I know that you'll resonate with, man, this was back in, I believe in the 80s, it was Wendy's put out a commercial, and it was called Where's the Beef, okay? And if you don't know the backstory to this, Wendy's, their initial idea was they thought like Burger King and McDonald's, they just had big fluffy buns with no meat in it, so they're going to call it Fluffy Buns, Fluffy Buns. But instead, they turned it to the corner when they met Clara Peeler. Clara Peeler was not really an actress. She was an old manicurist in Chicago. And so she had a little bit of emphysema. So she had that raspy old voice. And then she was the one who would just say, where's the beef? Right? And so a little backstory too, that Clara Peeler, she would become so famous that other agencies, other products wanted to push their stuff. So she did a shot with Prego. And so they went off the Where's the Beef, and she's like, hey, in this Prego sauce, I found the beef, which, by the way, Wendy's found out she did that, and they wound up firing her. So, I want to say that, so one of the top 10 ads of all time, it was done by MasterCard. And MasterCard, man, America, we were coming out of the 80s, this consumerism thing. And now the new currency were moments and memories. And so MasterCard wanted to feed into that. And so they came up with this saying, there are some things money can't buy, But for everything else, there's MasterCard. And the big idea behind the advertising campaign was this, that things have a price, man, but moments have value. And so they did this iconic commercial. I'm sure many of you remember. And they'll start itemizing things that you can buy, but then it ends with this epic moment. And so it's a man taking his little 11-year-old to the baseball stadium, and it just says, two tickets to a baseball game, $28. Food and drinks, $18. An autographed baseball, $45. A real conversation with your 11-year-old son, priceless, right? We all remember that, priceless. And you know what? I think kind of they ripped that off from the scriptures. Do you know Mark 8:36 says this, what good is it if you gain the entire world and you lose your one and only soul? Relationship with Jesus is priceless. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you so much. Lord, you are the great treasure. Lord, you are the pearl of great value. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Father, I want to pray for those that maybe just stumbled into this morning video and God, that, Lord, I want to pray for them, Lord, that they would know you. And hey, if you would like to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it really is as simple as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. B, believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And C, confess Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. And I promise you, man, your life will never, ever be the same. And so let me finish our time this way, as just with a brief reminder. Man, the sermon's over with. We're not quite finished. That you know that you can still be faithful in your tithing and your giving. A tithe just simply means a tenth, that we believe that we honor God with the first tenth of everything that comes in. We give back to him. And so there's three ways that you can give your tithe here to Every Nation New Jersey. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. That's how my family and I give. It's super quick and convenient. If you text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, or lastly, you can go old school and mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Listen, Every Nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're amazing too. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.